Sing it, Hugh.
Jodeci? Oh my goodness.
We Casey and JoJo.
Who we singing? Who we got coming on next that they like Casey and JoJo?
This is a good one too. I mean, yeah, this is a good one.
But this is when Casey and JoJo, you talking about somebody that get high in a kite. Them cats right there, man. And I ain't saying nothing that ain't been said before, because if you ever seen them in concert.
Yeah, you've been to a Casey and JoJo concert?
I haven't, but I've seen them.
Okay.
I seen them. I seen them in concert.
Maybe our next guest has too. Elliot Shore Parks is calling. Brought to you by Cozy Jewelers. Step up to the 50. That's color, cut, clarity, carrot, and cozy. Elliot, how we doing?
Man, I heard you guys are doing iconic duo, so I had to tell Kyle to hit you with that one.
The Casey and the JoJo.
That's a good answer, like Elliot.
Seventh, eighth grade school dance, Elliot, right there.
You know one of my favorite songs that they sang was Life, from the movie Life?
Yeah.
That was a great song.
I don't know that one.
Hold up, Elliot. You've never seen Life?
No, I haven't.
Elliot, go home today, you and your lovely wife, and watch Life. It's Martin Lawrence and Eddie Murphy. I was about to say Eddie Lawrence, but it's Martin Lawrence and Eddie Murphy.
I just pulled up the trailer. Bernie Mac's in there.
Yes.
Goldmouth.
Yeah.
I will say, I'm not a fan of older movies. Generally, if it's made before the year, like, 98, I'm not in.
But Elliot, trust me on this one. This is a good movie,
so,
man.
So, Elliot, this is 99, so right at the cutoff.
Right at
You're
the
good.
Cutoff, yeah.
And I'm in.
It's a good movie. It's a good movie, man.
There we go.
Friend of mine, Guy Tori. Guy Tori's in it. So, yeah, it's a good movie, man.
This was around the time you were an actor, too. Did you try to get
in? Yeah, I did.
Here?
No, I was. Like my man, I was supposed to be there, but I was busy.
What do you mean?
I was supposed to be in that movie.
Yeah, no, you weren't.
Nah, I'm just totally
lying. Don't lie. Don't lie about that. Let's get to yesterday. Elliot, surprise, shocked, not surprised. Like, where are you on the Eagles' inactivity at the trade line? It's very un-Howie-like with a team at 6-2.
So I think whenever we're talking about Howie not making a move, you have to say you're surprised. You could certainly look at the roster and understand why. I mean, every roster has holes, but in terms of holes, this roster doesn't really have one unless you're talking about acquiring, like, a top-end pass rusher. I would have traded for Za'Darius Smith. I think he's a very good player. He certainly is not, as I know you guys were talking about, a Micah Parsons or a Myles Garrett. So I just don't think there was that high-quality player available. But one thing that's been shown over these past 4 weeks is I do think the Eagles have, like, a pretty good roster. Like, we can talk about the edge rusher position for sure, but outside of that, they're not a team with a ton of holes. So I am surprised just because it's Howie, but I don't think a move was required yesterday.
All right, so Elliot, we were throwing out some theories earlier of why, like the why. Do you think it's a matter of they just didn't see a major hole, or do you think there's more to it? Because I was wondering if it's a commentary on how good they think they are. Like, maybe they don't really think they're actually a Super Bowl contender, and it's more of like, hey, it's a building year. If we make it, great. If we get to a title game, great. But they're not all in to win this particular season.
I definitely don't think it's that. I know it's not that they don't think they're a contender. The Eagles believe they're a contender every year. They just paid a running back a ton of money. They're 6-2. I mean, there's no way that's it. I think the reason a trade wasn't made is probably because they didn't feel the value was there. Now, we could sit here and say a fifth and a sixth was Za'Darius Smith. Like, I think that's good value. I would have done that trade. Clearly, they don't feel that way. But I don't think it's a commentary on how they feel the team is. I mean, the team is playing the best it has in, like, I don't know, a year and a half, you could argue, especially I know they were 10-1 last year, but it wasn't super impressive 10-1. So if there was a deal to be made there, I think Howie would have done it. They have a young roster. They have cap space. They have draft picks. I truly just think this was they didn't think there was good value there.
Elliot Shore Parks with us here after the deadline as we get set for Cowboys week, Eagles at Dallas on Sunday. All right, Elliot, I heard you yesterday with the afternoon show. We've talked a little bit about it, you and I, with how much they're running the football these days.
Yeah.
What's your take on what's gone on the last 4 weeks? It's obviously led to wins. It's working. Jalen's played better in when he's had to throw the football, but the numbers are just stark. I mean, they have gone from being one of the more pass-heavy, or at least kind of in the middle at the worst, to now the most run-heavy team on early downs. What do you make of what they're doing with this offense?
Well, so I think it's smart what they're doing. I mean, we can sit here and talk about the long-term ramifications. Is it concerning they need to do this? And we could go to all of those roads. But the bottom line is, when you look at this team needing to turn around, at 2-2, they needed to figure something else out. Yes, they got healthy, which is part of it. But now, twice now, under Nick Sirianni, have they needed like an inflection point in the season where something had to change? And both times they have gone to running the ball. So is Kellen involved in that? Sure, Kellen's involved in the offensive meeting. But in 2021, when that season was in peril, when they were 2-5, like Nick's job was on the line, like all those things, they went to a run-first team. They went from throwing it the most on early downs, I think it was 7th in the NFL, all the way down to 32nd. And now post-bye, they've basically done the same exact thing. So I think it's a smart move by the coaching staff. It's putting Jalen in better positions to succeed, and it's making the offense better.
Is it a commentary on Jalen Hurts, or do you think it's more of they just think they're really good with this line and this great running back? Because they paid Jalen Hurts to throw the ball more than
gave him a ton of bread.
18 times a game. At least I thought they did, and now they've gone away from that.
Yeah, so I think it's both. I definitely think it's a commentary on how confident they feel the offense can run with him throwing it 35, 40 times a game. But I also think part of it was he was turning the ball over at such a high clip in those first four games, they needed to find a way to stop that, just to stop the bleeding. Like, for all the other issues we thought the team had, the main issue they had was the quarterback was turning the ball over a lot. So I think by running the ball more, they're just taking away the amount of plays where Jalen puts the ball in harm's way. Now, as the season goes on, maybe they start to do less of it. Maybe Jalen's getting more comfortable in what they're doing. But, yeah, I think without question it is certainly an indictment on Jalen that they had to now twice in 4 years switch to a run-heavy offense to save the season.
Elliot, as we go through this season and as the questions get louder and the conversation gets louder about Sirianni's decision-making and then the in-game stuff, how do you think he's going to handle it? I don't mean publicly. I mean, do you think he is going to change his approach because it's been such a it's been the biggest talking point of the season. Other than Hurts' up and down in the beginning, I'd say the thing that gets most talked about on this station is Sirianni and what he does in these games. Do you think it's going to change some of the decisions he makes?
Zero chance. Absolutely none. I think you're going to see the same exact style of coaching from Nick the rest of the season, as frankly you've seen really for most of his time here. I mean, he has been one of the most aggressive coaches in the NFL when it comes to fourth down decisions, when to kick a field goal, when not to, going for it, going for two. I mean, that just is what it is. If you look at 2022, he added more expected wins to his roster with his decision-making than any other coach in the NFL. So he's always been someone that's going to go for it. It's just a matter of whether it works out. In this season, early on, it wasn't working out because, frankly, the team wasn't executing at a high level. This past Sunday, it didn't work out. I think I will take my chances on multiple tush pushes and those working, right? So I think the public criticism will have zero to do with Nick's decision-making because, frankly, inside the building, I'm sure they like that he's being aggressive because it's always what they want it to be.
All right, let's unpack one of those. You mentioned the tush push, and I would say the last few years it's been, you know, probably the most automatic play in the NFL. Elliot, it doesn't feel that way now. So do you think they'll use that less when they go for it? You know, and I saw the numbers today. I think it's gone from a 95% play to a 78% play. It's still good. I mean, it still works most of the time, but it's not quite 100%. Do you think that will change?
In terms of how often they call it, or do I think they'll get back to the 99%?
How emboldened they are to say, oh, we got this because we got this automatic play.
No, I think they'll keep going for it. 78% is still pretty high. We had a chance to do the players' lounge this past week with Jordan Mailata, me and Hugh, and then obviously also Ike. And the sense I get from talking to him is they still have a ton of confidence in that play. Maybe they have to tweak something for the first time. And, you know, if there's any offensive line coach you want to have figure out a problem, I think Jeff Statlin's bit. So I just think when they're completely healthy, Mailata's in there, Goddard's in there, Jalen's in there. I just still think they're gonna complete it or convert it at such a high level. Yeah, it's not 99 anymore. But I think most offenses in the league on a short yardage situation would take their chance on a play that's converting at basically 80%.
All right, Elliot, let's end with this. Sixers, Joel Embiid, 3-game suspension for the incident in the locker room on Saturday night with Marcus Hayes. Elliot, what did you make of the NBA's decision to suspend Embiid 3 games? I know a lot of people are kind of, you know, frustrated and feel like Joel, you know, was in his rights to be upset. But you kind of knew as soon as this happened that Joel would face some sort of NBA suspension here.
Yeah, it's not surprising. It certainly has something I think the NBA wants to send a message on, so this isn't something that starts happening around the league. But I would just say on a larger picture note, like, there haven't been many Sixers seasons I've gone into more excited than this one. The signing of Paul George, Maxey's big breakout year, like still having Embiid. And for it to start the way it started, like we can all look and say, yeah, when Embiid and Paul George start playing, they'll win more games and this thing will turn around. I don't know many special seasons that start 1-5 and with all this type of drama. So it's just been incredibly disappointing and really eye-opening, like, where this team is at. Could they rebound and be a great team this year? Sure, it's possible. But I've been pretty defensive of the Sixers. I've always been in on them. It's getting harder for me to look at this roster and not say, like, they're in major trouble with Joel under this contract and just how things are going. So I'm very concerned about the team.
I don't think you're the only one. Yeah, they took all the air right out of that balloon. Elliot, we appreciate you hopping on. We'll catch up soon and enjoy the rest of Dallas week, Elliot. We'll talk.
Have a good one.
Sounds good. Talk to you guys later.
There he goes. Elliot Shore Parks. I mean, he's not wrong. So Joel got that three-game suspension.
Whoopee-doo. I just thought it was funny that he got a three-game suspension, and we still don't have a timeline when he's
going to
play.
So we do now. They said he's going to play. So the NBA said, we're not going to suspend you till you're able to play. So according to the Sixers, he's going to play, what, four games from now, right? The suspension starts tonight?
Well, he has to now.
Yeah, because he's been suspended.
Because the Sixers are reporting that he's healthy enough to play tonight.
Yes. Gotcha.
And they just got investigated and in trouble for, you know, what, however, falsely
so
they, or,
so basically
or incorrectly
they had
reporting
to give you,
his injury.
They had to give you a timeline.
Basically. Yeah, and the Sixers have to now stick to that, unless they want to say, you know, he re-injured something.
Which,
in
they,
practice.
Which they could.
If they do that.
Would you be surprised, though?
Well, no, but also, like, that might have to be something where, like, that's a nail in the coffin. They have to stop.
This
must end.
Sixers, it's not too late. I'm available.
No, that's not.
I usually get off.
No, that's even
I'm
worse.
Off for work at 2:00 most days.
We don't want this.
I could be there 3:30 the latest.
You're going to help the situation?
Yeah, I'm going to help.
No, you're not. You are going to baby guys like Tobias Harris.
No, I'm not.
And
totally.
Talk about how fascinated you are with the amount of money he's made.
How'd you rob the Sixers blind, Tobias?
No, I will. No, I wouldn't. I'm not going to ask Tobias that, but I will ask Joel Embiid that. how can I get on that plan you on, bro?
You're going to get shoved.
Yeah.
No, I mean, you think you're shoving me? I'm going to fall down, and I'm suing. He shoved me, I'm suing. I'm not retaliating. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to wear a neck brace.
He's going to have a sling.
Yeah, I'm going to wear a neck brace. And
he comes in here with a neck brace. What happened? Joel Embiid shoved me.
And I'm going to be crying and talk about how I have mental strife. All of that.
So you would act like I would feel if I got shoved by
yes.
him. Yeah, not
I'm gonna
you.
I'm going to go ahead. Yeah, I'm an old man now, man. I get pushed down. It might be
don't play the old
it's a struggle.
Man
it's a struggle getting up off the ground.
Let's clip that audio. I'm an old man now. We could use that for a lot. 215-592-9494. Walt is in Allentown on WIP. What's
Walt.
Up, Walt?
What's up, my friends?
What's going on, man? Today?
Hey, Walt. What's up, buddy?
Oh, not too much, man. I want to give some. I had two theories, and I think they're kind of intertwined. But first, I want to make sure I keep it balanced, right? Like, let's be real about what this team did for Nick when he was at his lowest point, probably that we've seen him as a professional coach.
He's talking about the Britney Spears.
It did look a little Britney, but I wasn't going to go that route. But you said it, so okay, fine. He did look like Britney with the shaved head. That's true, but he was in a bad spot, right? Like I think he was having a legit mental health moment, and
he definitely was.
This team went to bat for him,
yep.
right? Like
yep.
this team. So can't take anything away from him and what he has done for what they feel about him, right? As individuals, as humans. So I want to make sure I'm clear on that because I mean you can't take that away. And there's certainly you were in those locker rooms for your whole career. You can't discount that. That's important, and that's a big part of team sports. Now, that said, what if us not adding at the deadline is Howie saying, we've given you enough, you need to win with this, or that's it? And what if the other side of that coin, too, is Howie being emboldened by the hits that we've had on our top two picks this year and saying, why would I sink more capital into this if I'm not sure that Nick is going to be the leader for the future? I need to keep those top picks so that I can hit again like I did this year.
I think it's a fair theory here, Walt. And I'll throw this in there. He may also think he already spent his in-season capital with the trade for Jahan Dotson. Now, it's not working out, but like I could see him going into the year in training camp saying, if I need something, I have a third-round pick I'm willing to use. He thinks I already made my trade. It was in the summertime. It was for Jahan Dotson. So I'm not gonna make another trade here.
I think you might be right, but I think Howie is trusted enough within that building that even if he made one move that didn't work and they felt that they needed to do something else that was critical and they all were on board with it, that he would have been okay to do it.
Probably,
You could be right.
Yeah, you know, it strikes me. I mean, your theory is interesting. The idea that they gave Nick enough, now let's go see, right? Like, let's put it together and go make a run here.
Realistically, they gave you a bona fide, no matter how you slice it, top two running back in the NFL. And he locked up one of the best duos of wide receivers that the franchise will ever have at any given time.
Yep.
You were given the best offensive line and best offensive line coach that probably has existed for a decade in the NFL. There's no excuses offensively, and you're an offensive coach. So it won't surprise me we'll never know the truth and we'll never hear it, but it wouldn't surprise me if in a memoir when Howie is 80, he says, yeah, I told him that was it. You can win with this or we can go another way.
Boy, that book's going to be a must-read, the Howie book, when he's retired one day.
I'd buy that. I'd put a deposit down on it right now for 40 years from now and hope I'm still around for it.
Me too. And one of those Amazon pre-orders, I'm in on that. All right, Walt, give us an iconic duo. What do you got for us?
If you went to Vegas for any time over the past, maybe not recently, but if there was like a 20 or 30-year window, you couldn't go anywhere without seeing Siegfried and Roy.
Yeah, I went to a show one time. They were pretty. Yeah, that was pretty good, man.
That's a really good. Well, that's an all timer, just in terms of all time duos. You saw that?
Yeah, I did. It was a long time ago, man. It was a long time ago. We went to Vegas and we stayed at the Bellagio.
That's the place to stay, right?
Yeah.
Out there.
Yeah, it was.
You know, I've never been to Las Vegas.
You need to go.
I've never
been. Nice. You have a time, man. The kids would love it because now it's more for children. You know, so you can stay at one of the – it's been a long time since I've been there, but they have one where it's a roller coaster that goes, like, through the strip.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
You know what I feel?
Cool.
Doesn't it feel like magicians are kind of played out now?
No, it depends on who you – John Dorboss, I think, still doing a good job in Vegas.
I'm not saying there's no magicians. I just feel like magicians had their moment. It doesn't.
Well, I think part of it is
I think magic's cool.
Part of it is because folks, they know the tricks now. They know most of the tricks. But I tell you what, man, one of the best magicians that I've ever seen, and I still don't know how to this day how he do it. Mm. John Dorboss is phenomenal at what he does.
Have you seen his show?
I haven't seen his show. He was at Chicken Piece one day, and he did something with a piece of paper, and he made it move, and I was like, he's the devil. The only person that could do something like that is the devil.
Or a magician.
No, it was the devil. I'll go with the devil. The devil.
All right, we go with it. All right, Big V.
No, he's a good magician.
Big V, what's up?
Yeah.
Big V?
Hey, yo, what's up, man?
What's going on,
man?
Hey, fellas, how you doing?
We're good.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. But listen, you're killing me today. I'm changing your name, Gilio. You're not Cilio anymore. You Scaredio.
Why do people not want to get better? I don't understand.
They don't want to be great, Joe.
Yeah, well, don't you want to be great, Big V?
What makes you think that we're not great now?
Because they didn't do nothing.
I mean, they've beaten one team with a winning record the whole season.
So what? They still beat them.
I gave you an answer.
Got a point?
Yeah, I mean, I gave you an answer.
Exactly.
He did answer the question, though.
Thank you for answering me. They still beat them. They're still young. They're still improving. The Thundercats are doing their thing.
Thundercats, Joe.
They're doing this thing. We're winning.
But now,
all you scared people are like, oh, the trade deadline.
He hit you with the people, too.
We need to get that. You scared by a dog.
I have a dog. And you know what I noticed with both you, Big V, and Hugh? Here's what I've noticed. Now you guys have turned the Eagles into the little engine that could. Oh, we're young and we're winning. I thought the goal is to win the Super Bowl. Now we're like an upstart team here. Like, what are we doing?
that was a good one, though, the little engine that could.
The little engine that could didn't it?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, okay, so that answers the question.
I mean, entirely.
Right? We're like Sirianni. Sirianni went up there. He talked to them. The three wise men got together, and they said that our trajectory right now can get us to the Super Bowl.
Right
do we need to pick that up and bring somebody else in? And the answer was a resounding hell no.
No, we don't
but
need nobody.
All of us. Sutton, all the people who know more better and got all that money, which they don't have, in the team, now are all upset because we didn't get somebody. Mm-hmm. Shut up and watch the game.
Shut up.
I did watch the game, and they could use more. I think you...
Hey, look, you could use... Well,
maybe your girlfriend will tell you what you could really use. But as but I'm not.
How about that D, baby?
That's what I'm talking about.
You're going to be all right, Big V.
You might want to have a conversation with her later, okay?
Soft.
Conversation.
But anyway.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Went off the rails a little bit.
Draw him a map, and you might have to use crayons to help him out, okay?
No, Joe's a pretty smart individual.
The problem is, Big V, anything the Eagles do is great, and you can't see a flaw in the team if I spelled it out for you. This team needed a pass rusher, and they didn't get one, and you're okay with it because you live in the clouds, Big V. That's what's going on.
Okay, well, before you hang up on me.
I'm not going to hang up because I need your iconic duo.
Okay, well, that's why I'll hold my iconic duo to after this. I don't live in a cloud. Mm. I look at the potential. I look at where they are. I look at who they face. And I say that if they're playing at an optimum level, they can't be beaten.
Oh, stop. Stop. Can't be beaten.
Howie did his thing in Howie's season. Okay?
Can't be beaten. The Jaguars.
Howie slept through this season, Big V.
The Jaguars were one play away from beating them on Sunday. Can't be beaten. What are you talking about?
Well, I was 2 inches away from hitting that spike in horseshoes. It still didn't count.
All right. I'm losing it. All right, Big V.
Almost doesn't count.
What do you got, Big V? Iconic duo. Big V and Delusion is my iconic duo. What do you got?
Julio and his Pampers. Okay, look, you might want to get them changed, brother. Okay? Pampers. Put big boy pants on and get out there and root for the Eagles.
Me and my Pampers. Big V, you're not going to win on that one. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that one.
I'll take it under consideration.
I mean, it's a funny answer, but we're looking for iconic
and
duos.
Pampers. Might be named after somebody.
Pampers are absolutely not people. All right, 215-592-9494. We'll get to as many calls as we can. We got to get you up here for your iconic duos. And before we go, it's Dallas Week. You got to hear this audio from yesterday. Players throwing coaches under the bus. Coaches throwing players under the bus.
You have got to be smoking.
Yeah, I love it.
Cowboys are in a bad way. That's coming up next. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. If you're in need of a midweek boost, FanDuel, in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, America's number one sportsbook, has you covered with the Hump Day Parlays reward stack. Now, every Wednesday, you can get parlay profit boosts on everything from spreads to over-under to even player props. So don't let the weekend have all the fun. Take advantage of Hump Day Parlays reward stack. Who knows? It might just become your favorite day. Look for the Hump Days Parlays reward stack in the FanDuel app to find your profit. Who's new to FanDuel? Visit FanDuel.com/GIGLIO. Make every moment more at FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NBA. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94 WIP.